Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
For more throughout the day.
It's a day off for the Cubs. They visit San Diego tomorrow. Justin Steele is getting an MRI exam today after leaving yesterday's game with forearm tightness. After taking 2 out of 3 in Houston, the Twins host Cleveland tonight with Pablo Lopez to oppose Tanner Bibee in the pitching matchup. The Nuggets host the Heat for game 1 of the NBA Finals tonight. Denver in the finals for the first time ever. It's Miami's 7th time and 2nd in 4 years. I'm Doug Thompson.
For the win.
From the Jethro's Barbecue Studios, where every Thursday, Bubba's boneless wings are half price.
Score!
This is Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.
Number 2, it's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Coming up, we will talk to Matt Poston's Heartland College Sports. Look forward to talking with Matt. Take a dip inside the Big 12. Then Trent's Plays of the Day, Circus Sports. We're going to start off the hour with our friend Bill Bender from the Sporting News. Busy day, college football related yesterday. A lot of kickoffs being announced, etc. And Bill joins us. Bill, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. It seems to me like college football kind of taking a page out of the NFL's playbook, right? They give us the schedule, they give us the draft, these little nuggets, these little breadcrumbs to take us to the season, and we get a few kickoff times, everybody gets all pumped up, runs to Twitter to look at them, etc. But I think it's probably the right way to go about it, right, as far as getting the most eyeballs on it.
Yeah, I think the bowl season times came out yesterday.
Yep.
I'm always on top of that. I'm a fan of the Pop-Tarts Bowl. I like Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
So that'll be good. And then, honestly, what I'm doing right now, guys, and not to dodge the question, but my editor and I are going back and forth about this Colorado to the Big 12 rumor that's heating up.
How close is it, Bill? I think they're on the cusp, but I've been there before. But it seems like that this time it's real, right? They had their board of regents. They met behind closed doors. Apparently, Deion Sanders is given two enthusiastic thumbs up, and I guess he has a major voice in the decision. He wants to, get inroads into the state of Texas, and there's 4 Big 12 teams in the state of Texas. It seems like it's real this time, Bill.
Yeah, that's another side effect, and I'm actually going to use that, what you just said. I'm stealing it for my article, because I was thinking about that. It is closer to Texas. It is reuniting, and I just looked this up, and you guys may correct me if I'm wrong, but so we reunite them with Kansas, Kansas State, Iowa State, and Oklahoma State.
Yep.
Old school Big 8 members.
Yep.
And, why not? I think it makes sense. They've never really fit in the Pac-12 from a football perspective. They haven't been able to – they've had one good season, really.
Mm-hmm.
And, you look at that and the opportunities for the Big 12, and I think it's like a slam dunk. And the other thing, Ken, you guys remember this. When they play Nebraska, I bet it'll be their most watched game next year. And yeah. Nebraska isn't even in the Big 12.
Right. Yeah, and the tickets, have you seen what it costs to get into Folsom Field? It's crazy on the secondary market. It's like $400 to get in the door, for crying out loud. That's nuts.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Colorado
yeah.
being relevant again. Is it as simple as they still are waiting to see what the rights are going to be? And if it's relatively close, as opposed to the $31 million they get from the Big 12, and it's $25 in the Pac-12, if it's that close, would they stay in the Pac-12, or does even that $6 million divide, would that mean, hey, we got to make the jump here?
Yeah, it's money. It's, the Pac-12 being in a little trouble without UCLA and USC. It's, I've just thought that all along. I thought, if this is how the Pac-12 is going to go, why wouldn't you entertain going back? I hear from Nebraska fans sometimes about their identity and did they make the wrong move by going to the Big Ten? The answer is no, because they got more money.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at Nebraska's place in the pecking order versus, you know, the Big Three, you know, I don't think anybody looks at Nebraska, at least where I'm sitting in Columbus, as any different than probably even a peg down from an Iowa and a Wisconsin who have had more success since the Nebraska came to the conference.
Mm-hmm. I think that if the SEC invitation would have come, you know, back when before Nebraska had left the Big 12, if Texas was going, I think Nebraska would still be a member of the Big 12, but we'll never know. What we do know, Bill, is this, the TV landscape is changing, right? With CBS getting involved in NBC. Can you remember a Big 10 game being played on a Sunday like we're going to have this year? I know it's only one, and it's Labor Day weekend, and CBS wants content. Northwestern and Rutgers are going to play on a Sunday. Can you recall a Big Ten game on a Sunday before?
I want to say that Ohio State, and I'm going to have to look this up now because you're just making me look up stuff, Ken. The Kickoff Classic may have been on a Sunday.
Okay.
When they used to do that game. And I'm going to look it up and text you as soon as I get off the phone.
Okay.
But no, it is definitely a new window. And definitely, you know, they've done the overseas game with Dublin. They've found ways to mm-hmm. make week zero the way it is. I'm not a huge fan of college football on Sunday. But, you know, in week one,
right,
our best week one game is going to be on Sunday. It's going to be LSU and Florida State mm-hmm. in a top 10 game with two guys that the quarterbacks that they think might be Heisman Trophy contenders.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Sunday night, 6:30 ABC.
Yes. Well, this schedule is not exactly great for the Big Ten in their initial debut. Well, we get Maryland, Charlotte in one of the primetime games is out there. I understand non-conference scheduling can be a little bit difficult, and it's not like CBS and NBC are alone. Fox still has their foot in the door there along with BTN. When you do and put those games out there, though, a game like Maryland-Charlotte, is it better just to say, we're not even going to have a night game this week, or putting something like that up there?
I mean, they're punting. They're punting because they're up against Alabama-Texas.
Right.
So, but I mean, I look at that like from a cynical viewpoint of, well, you might as well put Maryland there. People do flip between commercials, and they're going to flip over to it. I mean, it's just an evolving world of, your remote control skills as a college football fan have to be better than ever, because yeah. now you can't just, it's not just bouncing between ABC, Fox, and NBC. You got to get the Roku remote out. At least we have Roku, and find Peacock or find mm-hmm. something else. It's going to be a challenge, but that's part of the fun.
It is. It's back to the TV schedule. We saw that Michigan State is going to move their game against Penn State. They're going to move it to Ford Field, going to play indoors, but they're going to check that night game box for NBC. There's a lot of reluctance. We've always thought it was a policy as opposed to a steadfast rule that that a Big Ten game won't be played at night. I thought I saw, Bill, correct me if I'm wrong, that Ohio State is actually going to play a night game on NBC, maybe the Minnesota game late November. Did I see that correct?
Yeah, Michigan State. They'll play Michigan State on November, I think, like 15th, around there.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, this is part of the deal, and I've had this conversation with my editor as well. He's an SEC guy. I said, you know, in this part of the country, we're just not used to those night games. And I said, we like them more as special occasions than obligations. And I think that's like that at Iowa. You don't, when you have a truly special environment at Iowa, I know Trent likes them. We talked about this last week, but I would rather have it as that, like, circle the date. We've got so-and-so coming into Kinnick. We're going to, you know, get this place riled up. I mean, the one that sticks out the most, and I know they lost the game, was that the environment they had for that Iowa-Penn State game when, sorry to bring those memories up, but that was a fantastic game.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Saquon was ridiculous.
Saquon Barkley, right? Leaping over dudes. November the 11th, you're 100% right. Michigan State at Ohio State, 6:30 NBC.
So the schedules are out now, and then we get into the 6 and 12-day window. We heard NFL fans complain about a 30-day window, moving dates, not just start times, with that. With these new contracts, do you see in the future any flexibility? As somebody that has season tickets, it's tough. and you're just talking about changing start times. Do you anticipate we're going to see more flexibility, though, in the schedule, and very well could be viable that you find out a month beforehand that game that was supposed to be on Saturday, it's now Thursday? Do you see college going the level and the flexing that we see in the NFL?
I hope not, at least in terms of days. I mean, as somebody that, you know, I'm a fan to a point of Maction, because I went to a Mac school, and it is selfishly, it's because of my job, it's an opportunity to watch Ohio more than I would on a Saturday. The point you're making, though, I think as long as they can move the game times around on Saturdays, and that's fine, but I would caution against moving days, because obviously you've got to move plans. If you're planning on going to a college football game on a Saturday, the game time switch shouldn't matter, because it, in theory, it's supposed to be like an all-day event for you anyway.
Bill Bender from the Sporting News is our guest. Bill, I thought that when Sankey got in front of the powers that be, the SEC, yesterday, the meetings are going on, Destin, Florida, that they were going to move grudgingly from an 8-game conference schedule to a 9-game conference schedule. I thought it was fait accompli that they were going to make that move. It sounds like they're going to stay put, Bill, that 8 is going to be the number of conference games, unless there's been a development this morning that you've seen. I just want everybody to run the same race, right? Everybody, you know, play 9 conference games, all the Power 5 schools, etc., if we're still in this race together. Are you surprised that they're staying at 8 opposed to moving to 9?
No, it's weak. It's weak on their part, and this is a conference that trumps, it just means more.
Right.
And, you know, they'll deal with the criticism and all that. It's, come on, man, they have to play 9.
Mm-hmm.
They should play 9. You have 16 teams in your league. Do your 3 shared opponents, come to some agreement, realize there's going to be compromises. I'm with you. I mean, I think the Big Ten, and then their putback will be, well, that extra loss will help increase their national championships. They're going to be in the national championship hunt anyway. Do your fans a favor and play a 9 conference game.
Right. It's not like it's going to hurt Georgia or Alabama.
You wouldn't
or
think
LSU,
so.
Right?
I hate it. I absolutely hate it. Everybody's running a different race. And for a conference that continues to beat its chest about how great it is, to wimp out like this, it's just such a bad look.
It is.
Hey, I have one more for you, Bill. And over on the front of a team that I'm really struggling wrapping my mind around. Feel like got a good feel, obviously, on the Big Ten and Big 12. Notre Dame, a program that still matters here across the Midwest and across the country. Last year, 9-5 in Marcus Freeman's first season. I just don't quite know where to go with them. What are your thoughts on the Irish coming into year number 2?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they should be good. I think they not opening with Ohio State helps. They'll have a soft early.
Yeah.
I know they go overseas again. But having that start will help, the early start. I think Marcus Freeman did a very good job after a miserable start last year with the Marshall loss. But, you know, it's really going to come down to 3 games with them. It's going to come down to Ohio State, USC, Clemson. And, you know, in speaking to people around them, the excitement around Sam Hartman's off the charts. The ACC is all-time leading touchdown passer. And if he can push down the ball down the field with their receivers, they've got some good young ones, continue that running game and build off the defense from last year, there's no reason why they'll start the season in the top 10, and there's no reason why they can't stay in the playoff hunt.
Bill, back to where we started, pursuant to Colorado, if indeed Colorado does jump, I don't think they do so alone, or I think somebody follows them very quickly. Does that seem like it would be Arizona to you? Seems like there's those 2 schools ahead of Arizona State and Utah. I keep hearing about the 4 corner schools, but I think Colorado, Arizona might be the first 2 dominoes in that order to fall. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, man, here we go. I mean, we're in summer, so time to get those realignment turning, and this would turn them, because if that happens, then what's to stop Washington and Oregon from, like, shopping themselves very hardly to the Big Ten? You know, what's next? So I think it's all worth watching on the conjecture right now, but the fact that Colorado is putting themselves out there the way that they are, says there's a little smoke to that fire.
Mm-hmm. I see Notre Dame and Miami are now AAU members, and a lot of people leads them to believe that, oh, there's future Big Ten squads.
Because the academics matter and the graduate studies that happen and the amount of money you think
comes
college athletics
right.
is big. It is nothing compared to what it is with those research institutions, and those two additions, both of them certainly would make a whole lot of sense. Back to the Big 12 also, and the continued conversations, not about Colorado, but about Gonzaga, about UConn. Does that make sense for you? And not just football, Gonzaga be basketball only, but does that make sense? Do you think that helps the basketball brand bringing in those two institutions enough to have kind of the other negatives that go, I think, along with it?
Yeah, I mean, if that's how you want to market your conference. I mean, the Big 12, it's playing to your strengths. It is an outstanding basketball conference. I know they didn't win a national title last year, but there was no debate about, you know, the depth of the programs. The every day of the season when you were watching Kansas or Baylor or Texas, a couple injuries happened there that, you know, changed the dynamic too. So, I mean, adding Gonzaga and UConn would certainly do that. And, you know, Normark has a basketball background a little bit. So I think that is, as much as anything, is something to watch for. But I think it starts with football. It always, all of these conversations, always football is the trump card. You know, I've yet to hear a Power 5 conference commissioner emphasize that they need to be a basketball-first conference when sometimes that might be the better play.
Bill Bender from the Sporting News. Bill, we'll let you get back to that article. Thank you for giving us a few minutes, as always, Bill Bender. Good to talk to you. Take care. Bill Bender, Sporting News. We catch up with a frequent contributor to the Miller and Condon radio program. Chris Williams, who will join us tomorrow, he thinks that the basketball school invite may not be as strong as the rumor as strong as it once was. He thinks that maybe they're tapping the brakes a little bit on that. I don't know if it's true.
UConn, for them, I know the money.
Mm-hmm.
But they battled to get back to the Big East. How important that is. What Madison Square Garden is. I understand financials. But they didn't compete at the same level in the American.
No.
I continue to maintain their best course of action. And I know there's a lot of political avenues too, because they invested a lot in their football stadium and getting up to a Division I and FCS level. But drop back down. Drop down, go down to 63 scholarships and invest all that money into Big East basketball. And what you do on that front, I think, makes a whole lot more sense than trying to compete in the Big 12. They're not competing football-wise in the Big 12.
No.
And people point to the Fiesta Bowl year. They were 8-5 that year. They snuck in. There was a three-way tie in the Big East for the title that season. It's not like they were a runaway champion or anything like that. And then they got blitzed by Oklahoma. They're not going to compete even in the new reiteration of the Big 12. I don't think it makes sense for their perspective. Gonzaga, say UConn says no. You're not just bringing in the Zags.
No, I don't think so. You can't.
Why aren't they making that call to Creighton? I brought that up 2 years ago when Texas and Oklahoma broke. Mm-hmm. I said, go get the Zags. Mm-hmm. Go get Creighton.
Mm-hmm. Because at the time when it happened, we didn't know the survival likelihood of the Big 12. Now they're fine. What happened when Iowa State played at UConn? Someone broke their leg. Do you remember?
Iowa State.
Something happened. Not a player.
Because Niang got hurt right
no,
before
No, no, no.
But
I'm talking football.
Oh, football.
Football.
It was the mascot. Didn't Cy get pushed down the stairs or something?
Somebody, there was an incident.
Was it a band member or was it? Was I think it was Cy. I'm almost positive.
You know what? I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think.
Cy got shoved.
Cy got shoved. Did we ever identify the shover?
There were some pictures.
Is there bad blood between the schools?
Well,
does it linger to this day?
Are you trying to create something here? We're going to get Minnesota, Nebraska and the broken bits of chair trophy. Or we're going to get the conflict between Central Florida and UConn when they try to rile that one up. You're trying to get something started here, huh?
Well, it just dawned on me. We're thinking about that. There was an incident when Iowa State played at UConn. And I think you're right, Trent.
I think it was Cy
that snapped one off.
Mm-hmm. Got shoved down the stairs.
I'm not sure if there were stairs involved, but whatever. Anyway.
That's my memory.
I think you're right.
And I'm sticking to it.
No, and I think I'm going to give it to you. That's ding, ding, ding. We will take a time out. Before we do so, I want to talk about some of these local deals from, it is, after all, iHeart Radio Access Day. Go to the website, iHeartRadioAccessDay.com, iHeartRadioAccessDay.com. So many local businesses giving you an opportunity to buy a gift card for essentially half price. Here's a list of some of them. The Learning Post and Toys in Urbandale, Rita's Cantina, Lucky Horse Beer and Burgers, Ken's Not So Easy Speakeasy, Kelly's Little Nipper. You have a pet bark shop in Urbandale. That sounds like a jet trip for me. Science Center of Iowa has an opportunity. The Royal Mile, Fong's Pizza in Des Moines, the Hessen House, and Trent, that VIP Cyhawk game experience that you clued us in on. That's a pretty good offer. What is it? Two tickets?
Two tickets. In fact, two different people will be able to win this sweepstakes offer for the Cyhawk game experience. So we'll have two different winners, a total of four people. You're going to be accompanied by two members of our broadcast team here on KXNO. Team gear for either the Hawkeyes or the Cyclones from Authentic Brand. And after the game, sit in the WHO studios for Jethro's Barbecue Sound Off as you get to hang out with Travis and Ross and watch the craziness unfold after what should be another fun Cyhawk.
Well, especially
game.
If Iowa State wins. I mean, trip, this prize becomes even more valuable because that'll be bananas.
Yes, it will.
It certainly will. It's 12:25. We're going to talk more about that Big 12 with our friend Matt Postens from Heartland College Sports. Baseball ongoing right now. Have you got any? Have you seen any? Did you bet any of the early games?
Nothing on the card as of yet.
By the way, rumor out there that Waukee Northwest has a new basketball coach.
Oh, yeah?
Sam Powell. East.
Des Moines East guy, yeah.
Des Moines East. Sam Powell, maybe in line to get the Waukee Northwest job. So
it's a good job.
Yeah.
They got some kids over there.
They do. And Sam Powell's got a resume to go along with
it. Yes, he does.
So that is a something to watch for later on. Miller and Condon, 1225 is Des Moines Sports Station, 106.
New app today.
Miller and Condon, welcome back. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO, iHeartRadio, All Access Day. If you're got some free time, if you're sitting in your cubicle, you're working from home, or if you're off or wherever you are, with the exception of driving your car, iHeartRadioAccessDay.com. Check it out. You'll see the drop-down box when you go to the state of Iowa. You can see all of the deals that are available, both local and national. An opportunity to sit with Dan Patrick in the Man Cave. Sit in with Colin Cowherd on his show. If you're a fan of Ryan Seacrest and the music festival coming up in Las Vegas, that opportunity is out there as well. So a lot going on. Again, the website that you want to go to, iHeart Radio Access Day, and you're going to hear all about it on all of the shows, on all of the iHeart stations in our building. Let's get to our friend Matt Poston's Heartland College Sports. He joins us. Heartland College Sports about to get even busier, maybe, Matt, with a whole couple of new fan bases finding your website for the first time. Seems like Colorado has at least 1 foot out the door. Do you read it that way, that Colorado is going to be the first domino to fall as they get set to return to the Big 12? Matt, first of all, welcome. Do you see it that way?
I don't know. I mean, I know they've had two closed-door meetings over the last 2 days. That's a matter of public record. What they discussed behind closed doors, who knows? They could be discussing professor tenure for all we know. But I think Colorado is the school that there's the most noise around. And if you're thinking about, you know, the regional alignment, which we don't care as much about as we used to, but, you know, they're the closest of those four schools that we talk about, those four corner schools to the Big 12's footprint. They obviously had experience with the Big 12 and the Big 8 from their, you know, their long history aligned with those schools. And they seem to be the one school that, you know, there's a lot of momentum around. I heard the report earlier this week that, you know, Dion may actually have a lot to do with whether or not the school actually changes conferences, and he wants, you know, access to the state of Texas for obvious reasons. There are great mm-hmm. high school football recruits in the state of Texas. He still has a house out in Prosper, which is a little northwest of me here in the Metroplex. Okay. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they were
a little bit bigger house, I'm guessing, man.
little bigger house. I think my house might fit in his living room, honestly. little smaller house, but you know, we talk about that first domino. They would be my bet to be that first domino, but I still think they're going to wait to see what that quote unquote final number is from the Pac-12. I think they are committed to finding out what that number is. But if they don't have that number before the end of the month, remember the fiscal year for all these conferences flips on July the 1st. Mm-hmm. Their budget set for next year. Their budget for the following years is not set. They need to know what their what that number is going to be for the TV contract, because that's a big part of their budget. We get closer to the end of the month, you might see pressure on some of these athletic directors in the Pac-12 to make a decision if they don't get the number they're looking for.
And that leads San Diego State, right? Because they are rumored to be wanting to join the Pac-12, but they need to know by July the 1st mm-hmm. for that very reason, correct?
Yeah, it was reported at first as a buyout times three, which is would have been $17 million times three. It's actually more like a buyout times two, so it'd be more like about $34 million total. But that's the buyout to get out of the Mountain West if they want to join a new conference by next July. And they have to let the Mountain West know before the end of June. And they don't have near the leverage over the conference that Texas and Oklahoma did over the Big 12 in that kind of a negotiating situation. So, you know, San Diego State would love to know what's going on. And I don't think you need to bring them in as a full shareholder. I mean, if you think about TCU and West Virginia joining this conference 10, 15 years ago, they didn't come in as full members. Right. They didn't get a full revenue share to start with. I think if you gave San Diego State a half share, which would be about, you know, say $15, $16 million, they'd be thrilled about that, because that's twice as much as what they're making right now.
We continue to hear four corner schools. Does it have to be all four? You know, Utah, I don't know, maybe it's just the fan base, but they bother me.
You're not alone.
They are a weird group. There is no doubt. Arizona, obviously a superior basketball brand. Both Arizona and Arizona State have not been the football teams that probably they should have been, certainly over our lifetimes, Matt. But if it is just, say, Colorado and Arizona, not all four, we're going to take two. Is that something that is even culpable? Then you get into state politics with Arizona. What about that thought?
I think that's interesting, because I've heard that Arizona and Arizona State are joined at the hip. Mm. I've heard that from both of their presidents in print, that they are making decisions in an aligned way. You know, I don't think you want to leave Arizona State out, because basically if you have Arizona and Arizona State, you own the state of Arizona. And the Phoenix TV market
That's
is basically
big.
Everything north of Phoenix to the top of the state. That's like 80% of the population. And then Tucson's basically the rest mm-hmm. of it. So if you get those two schools, you own the state. I get Arizona basketball. It's a great brand. But I don't see how you make that deal without bringing Arizona State along. Utah's interesting because Utah's that rare state where the private religious school probably has more of a brand recognition than the state flagship school. Think about Notre Dame in Indiana, in the state of Indiana. You're kind of redundant. It's kind of a redundancy from a market standpoint. But I don't necessarily hate the idea of bringing in Utah if they decide to bring all four schools in, because Utah checks every other box when it comes to whether or not they're a kind of program you'd want in your conference. So I think if any one of those four gets left off, I think it's Utah, simply because there's the redundancy in terms of the market.
Mm. Interesting. What about, and we talked about this earlier, do you get the sense that there seemed to be some buzz a month ago when we first started to, you know, creep towards these times when realignment's going to rear its head again, that Gonzaga was interested and your mark was interested? It went both ways, the level of interest, as far as at least preliminary inquiries. I'm not sure it's as defined as it once was. Do you think that maybe it's cooled a little bit?
I think it has definitely quieted down. We asked your mark in March at the Big 12 tournament, you know, about the Gonzaga situation. He's been pretty upfront about it, you know, throughout that process. He said, I have other things I'm focused on right now. I think we all took that to mean other expansion in other areas, and obviously they've had the reported conversation with UConn. I think they've had conversations with other Big East schools that haven't been reported, if we're being honest. I don't think that indicates that they're not interested in Gonzaga down the line, but I think, you know, with everything going on in the Pac-12, I think their focus is on laying the groundwork and being ready if there comes an opportunity to add some of those schools. I personally think that your mark and the Big 12 office have like a, here's our plan A, here's our plan B, here's our plan C, here's our plan D, depending upon how things fall out. And right now they're focused on plan A, and I think plan A is being ready in case some of those Pac-12 schools come to them and say, you know what, it's just not going to work in the Pac-12 for the money, what can you do for us?
As we make our way to yesterday, it was the end of portal season for college basketball and guys making decisions. A couple of big names back in the Big 12 for a final season for Texas. What jumped off the page to you as it pertains to Big 12 hoops and the guys making the decision to come back to college for another year?
There weren't a lot of surprises. I was a little surprised Dylan Mitchell came back, only because in some cases, some mock drafts that I've seen, he's been pegged as a first-round pick. I think him coming back is the absolute right decision for him because he needs another year of development. He's an incredible athlete, but he needs to show that he can be a scorer at the college level before he goes to the NBA. Naquan Tomlin came back to Kansas State. He was strictly going to get his report card to go through the combine and go through the process. I think it's going to allow him to elevate his game come next year. I had kind of forgotten that Adam Flagler had another year to use, mm-hmm. but he decided to stay in the NBA, and I think it's probably time for him to go. The big decision for me was Damian Baugh deciding to stay in the draft. My rule of thumb is, unless you're a lead pipe lock first-round pick in the NBA draft, if you have eligibility, you should go back to school. I don't think Damian Baugh is going to get drafted. He's talented enough to do it the hard way, you know, to get a two-way contract and get into the league that way. Mack McClung has done it. Austin Reeves has done it. But he's not going to hear his name called on draft day unless somebody just sees something and hear him that I don't at this point in his career. But I think overall things kind of fell the way I thought they were going to fall. I didn't see anything about Keontae Johnson. I know he still had eligibility. I didn't see an announcement from him as to whether he was coming back or staying in the draft. I probably missed it. He passed his physical last week, so the NBA said he's cleared and good to go from the heart issue he had a couple of years ago. So I'm assuming he stayed in the draft, but I didn't see an announcement about it one way or the other.
Interesting. Yeah, maybe he should go to the Miami Heat. They love these undrafted dudes, right? McCullough back at Kansas. As we sit here, it's June the 1st. We're a long way from college basketball, but boy, oh boy, Self's roster. Yeah. Jesus. I mean, they're going to be, I would think, the I mean, everybody is going to pick Kansas to win the Big 12, right? I mean, is there another school that roster right now? I mean, I know I'm catching off guard here.
Maybe Houston?
I mean, I don't know enough about them. I mean, obviously, they were good last year. I don't know who they're returning.
They got Cryer coming in for Baylor.
That helps. Mm-hmm. That helps. Yeah. So maybe it is. I mean, Kansas would still be the favorite, but is Houston the one that might prevent that?
I think Houston's going to be competitive. Absolutely. They've got Cryer coming in. They've got a kid named Damian Dunn coming in from Temple. They're returning. They got a couple of guys coming back who were in the draft pool that decided to come back for another year of school. I'm like you guys. I'm still getting my names memorized, but they've got two guys coming back that I don't think they were expecting to come back. So that helps them. Baylor just got a transfer commitment from a Toledo guard named Ray J. Dennis. Just came in. He averaged 19.5 points for the Rockets last year. So I think even though Baylor is a little down right now, just in terms of talent, I think they'll figure out a way to be competitive in the conference. I really like where Iowa State's at. I think Otts has done a really good job of finding targeted guys in the portal. And of course they have that great recruiting class coming in. Mm-hmm. Those are the four I'm kind of focused on right now. Texas getting Dylan Mitchell back, that helps. Max Abness coming in as a transfer. I keep thinking about teams in my head and I'm like, oh yeah, he's coming in. Oh yeah, he's coming in. And it's like nothing's going to change in this conference because everybody knows this is one of the best conferences in the country. They want to play in this conference because A, there's an awfully good chance you're going to play for a national championship, especially if you're at a Kansas or a Baylor or somebody like that. And B, it's going to help prepare you for the NBA. So no shortage of talent coming into the conference, that's for certain.
Saw a couple of the announcements, of course, here in the state of Iowa. Iowa State. The kickoff time announced for 2:30 on Fox in the second week of the year. Did find it interesting, though. We see a couple of Black Friday games. That has been something that is becoming more and more prevalent. It'll be TCU at Oklahoma at 11 o'clock on Fox, and then a night game on Black Friday with Texas Tech at Texas. But throughout the course of the season, a couple of other Friday games in the Big 12. Cincinnati at BYU, K-State at Oklahoma State, and the possibility of a Friday night game earlier in the season with either Illinois at Kansas or Houston Rice. Just, is this the new contract with ESPN and opening up a few more windows for the Big 12?
Potentially. BYU actually likes playing on Friday night, so they don't mind the Friday night game one bit. In fact, that's going to be my first BYU game of the year. I'm hoping to we're hoping to cover all four of the new teams in their first home openers.
Nice.
Either in for the season or for the Big 12. So I'm going to go to that BYU Cincinnati game. But BYU likes to play Friday night. They have no problem with it at all. But it wouldn't surprise me as the new television contract comes in next year if we see more Thursday games, if we see more Friday games, especially if they're not in the state of Texas, because, you know, the Big 12 is looking for ways to differentiate itself. And if you think about MAC Week, MACtion, everything they do in November, the Sun Belt will now have all weekday games in October. Everybody's looking for a way to differentiate themselves on TV. And it wouldn't surprise me if the Big 12 went the route of, you know, playing Thursday and Friday games more often, or maybe even playing a midweek game, you know, more often, just to get a little more attention. I think Thursday is becoming more of a space for the NFL because of the Thursday game on Amazon. Wouldn't surprise me at all if the Big 12 like opted to maybe do like a Wednesday game, you know, a few times just to see if it would work for them from the standpoint of getting more attention.
Matt Poston's Heartland College Sports, heartlandcollegesports.com for all the entire crew over there. If you're a fan of the Big 12 and you haven't visited, or it's been a while since you visited, you'll be glad that you did. You guys do great work over there. Told the same thing to the boss, Pete Mundo, when we had him a couple of weeks ago. It's a great resource, Matt. Thanks for giving us a few minutes. Appreciate it, as always.
Hey, thanks, guys. Big 12 meetings going on right now in West Virginia. We'll hear from the commissioner tomorrow.
Yeah, interesting. We'll be see if anything comes up. Is Colorado? I shouldn't even. Is there anybody tracking flights from Boulder?
I don't think you'll be hearing the Big 12 say we're inviting so and so to the Big 12 tomorrow. If that's what you're driving at, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if there were maybe some meetings in the periphery with some of these teams they're talking to. Just everybody checking boxes and laying groundwork just in case. You know,
do we still use Flight Tracker for these types
of things? Absolutely.
Do we still do? Okay, good stuff. Matt, thank you, buddy. I'll talk to you down the road. Appreciate it.
All right, you bet.
Yep, good to talk to you. Matt Poston's Heartland College Sports, a terrific resource for the Big 12. Well, Trent, we got some day baseball.
Yep.
Got a couple of night games. Got an NBA game tonight. Are you firing on the MVP? You can't bet Joker.
I already have him.
You already have him.
I have him at plus 420, I think it is.
Well, that's
like
good
that.
Because he's minus 400.
Well, we had this conversation, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, and I said I wanted to have more Denver.
You said you wanted to build
it
up.
And instead of doing that, I just said, no, I'm going to bet on Joker instead of, I think the Nuggets at the time were, I don't know, plus 220. I got the Joker at 420.
And if they win, it's almost a foregone conclusion.
Murray's the only other guy.
And he's 12-1.
Yeah. I don't hate the price. I didn't touch it. I don't want to take away the value.
What's
that
Porter?
I have. He was like 50 to 1. He's going to get some shots because this Miami team, they're not tall. He's 6'10".
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have
big dude.
Struce on him.
Uh-huh.
He's going to have Duncan Robinson on him. He's going to have Lowry at times on him. He's going to shoot over top of those guys. Now you got me thinking.
Adding a little bit to it?
Maybe. No, I'm happy where I am right now.
All right, we're happy that iHeart Radio Access Day continues on here all day. iHeartRadioAccessDay.com. That's the website. There you can find all of the local deals, and there's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of them that have already run out of their allotment of gift cards. So don't hesitate once you get to that website. Rita's Cantina, Lucky Horse Bar and Saloon, Ken's Not So Easy, Not So Secret Speakeasy, Kelly's Little Nipper, Bark Shop in Urbandale, Science Center of Iowa, a Bait Freedom Rally in Algona, Chances to see Trace Atkins as part of that, Learning Post and Toys in Urbandale, Royal Mile, the Hessen House, and then that Cyhawk one just keeps jumping off the page. Two people are going to get two tickets to the game, new gear of the squad of your choice from Authentic Brand. You get to sit in with Travis and Ross as they do sound off following the football game. Pretty cool experience, and thanks to Jeff Throws Barbecue as well for making that possible.
Big national one as well with DraftKings, 50% profit boost on any NBA Finals bet. So
Jamal Murray goes from 12 to 1 to 18 to 1?
Yeah.
The Joker goes from minus 400 to minus 200?
Now you're talking.
The Nuggets go to win the series from minus 400 to minus. That's easier to swallow.
It absolutely is.
DraftKings, good job. Well done, DraftKings.
Just go click on the link there at accessday.iheart.com. You can see DraftKings, one of the first ones listed, at least the way that it's set up for me. Maybe the algorithm,
imagine that.
Maybe the algorithm knows me just a little bit too. Yeah. But click on that one and it'll take you. In fact, I did it this morning. It'll take you right to your DraftKings app. You already
is
have it then.
Is that how easy it
and
is?
It is one click and you're there. You sign into your account and you'll have that 50% profit boost for any NBA Finals bet.
That's awesome. Good stuff. All right, we'll come back. Trent's Plays of the Day. Circus Sports sponsors those. We will get to those on the other side as we continue on here. On Des Moines Sports Station, it's Miller and Condon on 106.3.
Back to Miller and Condon on KXNO and Trent's Pick of the Day, presented by Circus Sports Iowa.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Final few minutes. Murph and Andy coming up in 10 minutes. The Drive with Heather and Sean from 3 until 6. And, of course, the Morning Rush starts your day from 6 until 8 every Monday through Friday. Tomorrow, Mike Palm hopefully will be here from Circa. Tom Cakert will be. Chris Williams. The lineup will have a game to recap. Will we? I mean, we're going to have a game. Will we have a game?
Yes.
Okay, good.
That's where we kick things off with my plays
You're
of the day.
You're taking the points.
I'm grabbing the 9. Give me Miami plus the 9 here this evening. Looking forward to that. In fact, looking forward to watching this one. Going to be out at Wellman's this evening for a little game watch.
Yes, the folks from Circa are in town and Iowa everywhere, and you'll be there. And
going to hang out there. Going to be doing some funnin' and sign up for an account. Also, we're working on our details for our trip to Wrigleyville and Iowa Northwestern coming up in November. So when you head out there, we will have some further details for you and maybe a chance for you to get involved for a drawing, as we're going to have a pair of tickets to give away for that one in Wrigley. I would tell you, go to Wellman's tonight. You're going to get a leg up on the competition. Mm-hmm. The people that will be vying for those tickets here throughout these summer months. What should be an incredible event. We're working to get to Merkel's, the Hawkeye Bar.
That's where we're going to be.
In Wrigleyville on Friday. Do our show from there.
You know, I was thinking about Wrigleyville the other day with the new rules in baseball. Those bars got to be loving life.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, getting out of there to a 2.5 hour game time. You know,
it's only 9:10.
Right? And you know what? I could use a couple more beers. Right. I'm not driving, after all.
I'm going to hop on the L. I'm going to swill down a couple more L's.
Have you taken the L to Wrigley?
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
It is.
You know what? Wherever you go to one of these cities and you're, oh, boy, am I going to find my stop? We'll just follow all the uniforms when they get off, right? All the other fans. When they get off, that's your cue to follow suit.
Merkel's will be the place. It's going to be a lot of fun. Big Hawkeye Bar has been for 2 decades. Do you know who was the original owner of Merkel's and how it became an Iowa bar?
I have no idea.
Pete, who runs Barntown Brewing.
Is that a fact?
Yeah, found that out.
And he owned it.
Yeah, he was part owner before he came back here to Iowa. So that's where the Hawkeye connection started. And I need to make a stop out there, I think, to Barntown, too, and see maybe we can do a little collaboration.
Well, there's another Hawkeye fan that owns a bar called Dublin in Viagra Triangle.
Viagra Triangle.
That's what they call it. It's a bunch of guys 50 and 60.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of great Carmine's. There's a lot of great restaurants in there. Anyways.
I don't think I've dabbled in that.
Yeah, you've probably been there and you don't even realize it. Anyways. Wellman's, you are. Wellman's tonight. Chris Williams going to be there. All the Iowa Everywhere team's going to be there. You're going to be there. Circa's going to be there. Should be some fun times. Make some plays.
Let's do it. Mention Miami. Give me the 9 with the Heat this evening in baseball. Starting all evening games tonight. Nothing during the day for me. We're going to kick things off. I'm back on the Reds train. And we talked about that Circa bet. Most wins in the month of June on our TV show, Inside the Numbers. They're 150 to 1.
Are they really?
I threw $5 on it.
Do they have any crossover games with Oakland?
I didn't even look that deep.
Kansas City?
I like the way the Cincinnati team, we talked about it yesterday.
I'm with you.
There's
you can't find
them.
Very many people to go along with you.
No, no. And
which isn't a bad thing.
That's I'm A-okay. That keeps those odds at 150-1 to have the most wins in June. So going to grab them plus the 140. Also going to grab the Guardians tonight plus 126. I still have the memories of last year's season series between Cleveland and Minnesota. That's jumping out there. And the young Bibby kid.
Yeah,
who's I don't know, made 5-6 starts now for the Guardians. Seen him a couple of times, and I've been impressed from what I've seen out of him against Lopez, who's just been inconsistent to this point.
But you know what? He's better.
Yeah, he's good. He's solid.
Yep,
he's a nice number two, number three guy to have when you get to the playoffs. And wrap it up with the guy that you tipped me off last year, and watching Valdez and what he hold up. Valdez is no longer starting, at least of what I'm looking right here. So I was laying the -1.5 with the Astros, and now I got to dig a little bit deeper, because if he's not starting, I will not play
then that. Then that's not your play.
So there are two different sites I look at. One does have Valdez starting tonight. The other does not. So further investigation, if Fromber gets the start, I will lay the -1.5 plus 117 on that one for the Astros tonight at home against Reed Detmers, who's awful for the Angels. He is absolutely brutal. He's a lefty. Astros have mashed lefties this year. Love the matchup, only if it's Valdez, though, and that requires a little further investigation.
All right. You do your homework and get on that one. Framber Valdez, I think he's as good as there is in the league. Anyways, that is going to do it for us. Still time, though. Continues all day. iHeartRadioAccessDay.com. iHeartRadioAccessDay.com. Some incredible deals. Murph and Andy in 5, the drive 3 to 6. Heather and Sean, and the Morning Rush starts the local day of programming here on KXNO. We're Miller and Condon, 11 to 1. What'd you find?
We had it right. Mascot, Iowa State UConn.
There you go.
Nailed it.
106.3 KXNO.